been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a Hilleburger family runs a muck. The show inspires the same guy, except he totally same. And diverse.
Let's watch cartoons that burn.
Yeah, that's bananas.
As rough.
Cool. Well, let's move on to 105, Luann's Saga. A lot of good Chuck Mangione in this one. Right at the beginning, which I love.
Yeah, right. It opens with Feels So Good during the workout.
Feels So Good. Tape. And then it's the commercial. And he says, he goes, "We're shopping. Feels so good at the Megalomart." he's like, "We're shopping. Feels so good." One of my first notes is how crazy it is that Buckley picks up Luann and then rides her down the street and then stops to break up with her.
Oh, yeah. He bugged out for that. That shit was crazy.
That is so fucked, man.
He bugged out for that.
What an asshole. Buckley's, look, as much, even though one of my favorite episodes of all time is the one with Buckley's Angel, Buckley's a big idiot. Luann deserves better than Buckley. She really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he bugged out for that.
This is a lot to do. Even though this is a Luann episode, it does have a lot to do with Hank and Peggy having a conflict, because it basically, Peggy's like, she's gone through a breakup. She needs to just process it and take this time. Don't say anything dumb. Just tell her she's pretty, and like, it's going to take her time to process this stuff. And then Hank decides to start talking shit about Buckley and saying he's better off and like interjecting himself into her love life and all that. And that's where everything goes wrong. There is that funny though. Like there's that funny sequence where, so she tells Peggy, tells him, just tell her she's pretty. And then after he does something different and she's chastising him for it, he just goes, "You look pretty, Peggy."
Yeah, so funny. And then she tries to keep talking. Yeah, he says, "You know, Peg, you look pretty.
You're pretty, Peg." And it works. It's
and so she funny. Just gets so flustered that she, like, he has to do it like three times. But by the third time, she gets so flustered that she doesn't remember what the fuck she was talking about.
Oh, man.
Great bit.
I like one of the lines I wrote down that I think is so funny is when they go to the dancey place, they go to the club or whatever, the bar, and they're looking for a good guy to dance with and hang out with Luann, and I think it's Dale, he goes, girls like guys with a round muscular butt. I'm going to look for a guy with a round muscular butt. And then there's that moment where he's they're in the bathroom peeing at the urinal and he looks over and he like notices that he's got a round muscular butt and he's like tries to pick him up for Luann, but obviously it's not going to go well. And a bathroom in Texas, I don't expect.
Yeah, bad vibes.
Yeah.
For Hank.
This is another one that has something that Hank does that I think he would never do ever. Mm. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
No, it's been a while since I saw this one.
Such a dickhead to Boomhauer. He calls Boomhauer like a lady chasing, like,
oh,
like,
yeah, he, like, he bugs out.
Hank loves and respects Boomhauer so much over the show, and this is the first time
he would never even suspect that.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, I didn't like that. I like the way they make you even, like, I mean, early on in the show, they even make you be like, oh no, like, Boomhauer really with Luann here?
Yeah, but I did kind of go, oh no.
And then when they, but I love when they get back to Boomhauer's house and he just like angrily gives her a pillow and blanket and walks into his room. He's like so pissed. He's so mad.
Because even Luann, nobody knows Boomhauer's intention. Yeah,
yeah.
Even Luann.
Luann was like, "You're moving so fast." Yeah,
he like, "Yo, shut the fuck up. Go to sleep."
Man, love Boomhauer. There's a few things about Boomhauer that may be a little skeezy. Like his whole episode where he tries to teach Bobby to pick up women, and it's just all about hitting on every woman you find. It may be a little skeezy, but like for the most part, Boomhauer is just such a, like, he He's just such a like kind soul. He just happens to be a ladies' man.
He's a
stand
up guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's like a. He's like a version of Quagmire that you could be friends with and not be a bad person for being friends with.
He's so much better than Quagmire.
Yeah.
So much better. Yeah. And then there's the end. Do you like the end with the
I love the end. Like, I love the end.
Yeah.
I love Hank and Luann hanging out together in general in this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the end is really nice where he like
yeah, it is even the other stuff where even though he's doing the wrong thing and he's like messing with the timeline of the healing, it's funny to see them like get along and hang out. And it's the first time you
like
see
even
it in the show.
When they, you're right, when they come in like after hanging out and they're just like laughing and shit. And he's like, what the fuck have y'all been? Like it is really nice.
This is a good one. Ooh, I like Luann's saga. Nice one. I love Luann though. Luann. One of my favorite characters. I want my Luann video to blow up more than it has. It's got good views, but like I wish that one
it's
was like
video.
Way up there. My Boomhauer one's video. Got the most, which is weird. Random, right? Isn't that random?
I don't know, man, because they're trying to figure him out.
People love
everybody's
Boomhauer.
Trying to figure him out.
Yeah. It's tough. There's not that many Boomhauer episodes, to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, you want to move on to 106? Any other thoughts on Luann's saga?
That's it for Luann's saga. We could do 106.
All right. We are on Hank's unmentionable problem. This is the episode about Hank being constipated, which I think is like a perfect Hank Hill plot. Because it's something, especially the way that it gets passed around the neighborhood, the whole neighborhood starts to gossip about it. That is truly... Hank's worst nightmare. That is like the worst, like something so sensitive and private being aired out in public, like Hank's absolute biggest nightmare. And
yeah.
I think that's pretty funny. But he is very stubborn. Like he's stubborn about his shit. He won't eat the bran muffins. He won't try laxative. Like if I had shit in 5 days, I would 100% down some laxative.
When they go to the doctor, I was like, nah, this nigga was wild. And first of all, when Peggy breaks down like his bowel, like she says that like
she's got every single thing broken down.
She says like for years he was regularly going to take a shit like every other day,
right?
And I was like, what the fuck, like what years he should have been to the doctor. What type of shit is that?
For sure. Like, for sure.
Nah man, that's not that's bad vibes, bro.
Oh man. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh yeah, like one of my favorite lines about him just like lamenting that everyone's talking about it is he refers to him as toilet things, not toilet things. He doesn't want them to know about his toilet thing. Man, there's some good.
This is my notes is that Hank acts like a child a lot in these early ones.
He does. Yeah. He's very stubborn. He's a very stubborn guy. And, he doesn't want people to know about this stuff. Like when Bobby's like, you should eat those bran. They'll help you make.
They'll help you make.
that's something you should never know about your father.
He's like, bro, you was in the bathroom for an hour.
Yeah.
And just like, no, the fuck. Like, he's just so fucking childish. He's like, oh, was it? Fuck out of here.
He is very stubborn, childish in this episode. I love when he's finally getting like the colonoscopy and Bobby walks in and is like, whoa, Dad, what are they doing to you? and then he's like intrigued and interested in like the doctor stuff. He's like, I want to be a proctologist. And then the face Hanks makes, and then they imply that he's like clenched his ass because they can't keep looking. Keep doing the thing. Such a weird little conflict for an episode, though, especially like Peggy being so worried, which I understand. Like, I would be worried about my loved one too if they had this kind of a problem. But
yeah,
that's like the whole thing is like her being like, I'm worried. Mm. That's all this is about. And him being like, don't talk about my poop problems.
Yeah. There's another one of those dream sequences. Peggy has that nightmare that he passed away. And there is a crazy visual of them carrying Hank's casket, and fucking Cotton is too short. So he's just hanging off the casket.
It's so funny.
It's a crazy visual.
And then the way the casket flushes into the grave it's a toilet. It's pretty
nuts.
Good.
It's nuts.
They do a lot of those dream sequences, huh? A lot of dreams, a lot of memories. One of my favorite jokes in this episode is when they're trying to go get him a better diet to be able to like flush his system, so he's not just got beef shoved up in his insides. And he goes,
right.
and they're gonna buy tofu, and he's like, I can't eat that crap. And then the guy's like, well, here's what we have: fofu for people for tofu intolerant alternative. Right. Which is so funny. It's like the idea that there's an alternative to tofu is hilarious to me.
And then Hank asks, you have anything that like tastes good? And he's like, No.
Which is very very vegetarian, vegan food back in those days. There was,
I'm gonna say, very, very 90s, right? Because like this podcast that I listen to, Is the Mic Still On? One of the hosts, Mike, has been a vegan forever. And he talks about how like people that want to be vegan today, like they got it good because like it's all this cool shit now. Like all this like real fly,
so
like
much
they
good
making
food.
Fake meat, like all this fly shit that tastes real good or whatever. But like, he was saying like we had to struggle like 20 years ago doing that shit. Like, he just was fighting a battle on some shit. Like, no, like the treatment of animals is fucked up. Like now it's like everybody's like, oh, well, I could eat this because like, you know, for my body or whatever. It's like, nah, you really had to believe in that shit.
Right.
Like
for sure.
Years ago to really get through that, because like, it was a lot of shit.
I got a lot of respect as someone who's done a primarily vegan diet for a few years. I've kind of been half and half recently, but it was so much easier to do living in a place that just has good vegan food everywhere. It was why it was easy. It was why it was not a difficult decision for me to be like, I want to try this because there's so much fucking good vegan food around. For to do it back then, it was both difficult and so like, which really shows how dedicated to the cause these people were, which is cool.
Right.
It's very cool. So let's see. Anything else? Love the. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead. No, you go.
It is. First of all, I love the scene where like Peggy is just finally like, fam, all right, I can't change you, and she like breaks and like she's like really sad about it.
Yeah,
I really love that scene. But also talking about things that would literally never happen, because we off camera, obviously, but me and you were talking about how Hank only cries 3 times. Apparently it's 4 because he cries here.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did I watched this one. I watched this one like last week, so I don't even remember where.
Right.
Where does he cry?
When Peggy is crying because she's like, I don't want you to die. And he's like, I'll be around. Like, I'm not going anywhere. And like, when he's holding her, like tears come out of his eyes. And I was like, oh, fuck, he's
so
crying.
Welling up. Welling
not
up.
Like they like come down, like they stream down. So I was like, oh, fuck, he's right. Crying.
Write that down. Yeah, he doesn't cry much. Doesn't cry much.
Mm-mm.
Maybe watch out for a video about it. Little hint.
Yeah, maybe.
I love the music when he finally poops. They do the.
Oh, I love the ending. So I love the that there's no talk afterwards either. They just hear the flush and everybody gets so happy.
Yes, everyone's so happy.
It's such a good moment.
It's so
great moment.
Good episode. Hank's unmentionable problem. Anything else about this one? You want? Or should we move on?
Let's move on. Let's keep it. Oh, shit.
107 is Westy Side Story. This is the introduction of the Supadoosin phones. Con, Min, and Connie move to town at the beginning of this one. And I think that's interesting that they... It's weird to think that they were, didn't always live there, right?
Yeah, that was when they showed up, I was like, oh, yeah, right, huh?
Yeah.
Also, do they keep that dog?
I think he pops up here and there, but not super often.
That's weird. That was, yeah, I know. When I saw the dog, I was like, wait, they have a... Where the fuck does dog come from?
It doesn't show up around much, but I think like they show Khan walking it sometimes. But I don't think it's often. But I'm pretty sure it's in other ones. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be totally wrong. But definitely is infrequently shown. This is such an interesting episode because Hank is so welcoming. He wants to be friends with these neighbors, but he doesn't understand that he's constantly just throwing out microaggressions, basically. Are you Chinese or Japanese? When he comes out and he's like, oh, one of those Chinese fighting dogs. this is a Westshire Terrier. And he's like, yeah, that's what they're called. Peggy's is even more blatant. She's throwing out all of the ridiculous Chinese facts, even though they very explicitly say we're Laotian, we are from Laos, a landlocked country. You know, it's like they explain where it is. Peggy's the one that I wrote down, her ridiculous Chinese fact is like, did you know that in Chinese they have 72 words for rice but no words for friend, which is
so stupid,
an insane thing for anyone to say. But this is a really interesting episode. This is the one we kind of broached this one earlier. Because the episode's kind of about like stereotypes and microaggressions and just assuming you know something about someone else's culture without actually knowing those things, and how that can lead to friction with people. Hank's like referring to every single Asian country when talking about the Supadoosin phones. Like he's just like mixing them all up. It's interesting. It's an interesting way to highlight this kind of conflict, especially when you make your main characters the ones who are like doing that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And Hank, like, There's that crazy line where Hank is like, because that's the thing is like Hank and Con start to bump heads, and then Hank just kind of was like, I don't think I like this guy. I don't think I like him. And then like, and Peggy's like, well, you gotta like him, otherwise you're racist. And he's like, he says, what does he say? He says, so what kind of country is this where I can't hate a man unless he's white?
That's a good line. But, you know, it's, I mean, like, the thing that Hank didn't realize is that, like, I mean, granted, Khan is an abrasive person. And I don't know if I would get along with Khan.
But I also don't think Khan comes out swinging.
No, he doesn't. It's fully friction built up because Hank's not listening to the things he's telling him about himself. And he's just making all these weird assumptions. And then like he throws it back. Like basically Hank's throwing out all these weird, he's saying all these weird, different, like kind of throwing out these little stereotypes about him. And it builds to the point where then Khan basically is like, he's stupid Texas redneck or whatever, calls him a redneck, and he goes or he calls him redneck, he's like, oh, just because I'm from Texas you means I'm a redneck. So all of a sudden Hank gets one stereotype thrown his way, and now he gets it when it's thrown at him, but he doesn't get any of that shit. He doesn't understand that any of the shit he's thrown at Khan is the same, feels the same to him. And then he says the craziest thing he says is Chinese and their stupid stereotypes after saying all of these ridiculous stereotypes the whole episode, is one of the stupidest things Hank's ever said.
Yeah.
One thing I love about this episode is how Bobby and Connie just pretty immediately are like homies. They're just like, yeah, we're cool. We're friends. Yeah. There's no conflict between them. They're just like trying to hang out with and let the dogs be friends. And yeah, and that's a good start to their, I like that as a start to their friendship. Your cat opening your door, or is there a ghost?
Yeah. It's my, oh, all right. We're not about to do this. She found like a little twist tie, and now she's playing with it. Stop. All right. Give me that. Come here, man. Now don't run.
It's so funny.
Okay. She, okay, now she's looking at me. But she saw me get up and go over there, and she ran.
I love you, Mo. So, but there are some really interesting things about this one. Like, even after Hank blows up and like they have this initial conflict, he kind of sucks it up. They go to the barbecue and hang out, and he brings them propane. And then this is a weird thing that I feel like, I don't know, this feels like something they maybe wouldn't have done later, because Hank's so like, he's so like uptight about the grilling thing, but like Con grills the best burger he's ever had.
That's what I said earlier that Hank does some like crazy shit that like fucked my mind up. Was that, because number one, when he gets there and he finds out that the burgers aren't propane, he would have fucking left.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't have even like tasted them. He would have fucking left.
Yes, the fact that he cooked him without propane, and then he also was like, well, that's the best burger I've ever had. That completely conflicts with that later episode where Hank and Peggy start grilling with charcoal instead of propane, mm-hmm. and he's like wants to kick them out of the house, basically.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. It's obviously though, it's just set up for the like further racist stereotype storyline that Dale incites, which is he's like, how many did you eat? Dale's like, none, I don't eat dog. And so
that's when it got crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
And like, to Hank's credit, at first he's like, that's a crazy stereotype. That's not real. You know, like that's not a real thing. But it does like clearly start to eat at him. And then when the dog's missing, he's like, oh my God, it's like they did cook the dog. Yeah. It's messed up. I like that he's so embarrassed that he at the end, he's so embarrassed that he even thought it. He can't even admit it at the end. We're like, the dogs aren't, oh, the dogs are still alive. He's like, where do you think they were? And he's like, never mind. He won't even say it. I do wish that the conflict resolution had a bit more to do with them reconciling the stereotypes that they perpetuated, like understanding them better. Like, because
I get that.
Because the conflict resolution is basically them relating. At the very least, I don't know, hate that, where they're just like they relate over how they both punish their kids. And like, I do like the idea of being like, well, yeah, like there's something that we have in common that is very easy for us to relate about. But it does feel like they explore all of these ideas, and they're really interestingly executed. And I think it is like a interesting character society study, especially of the time. But it does kind of feel like I wish there was maybe a little more of a message about it.
Yeah, no, I get you. I do like what they do, but like I said, this stuff kind of like never comes back. Like the characters aren't like this later. Like,
right.
They don't, nobody thinks Khan is Chinese or Japanese.
Right.
Past this point. Like, not this point as in this episode, because they kind of bring it up in the next one. But like, not past this season does this conversation even come up? You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think it would have been cool to have Hank kind of say what he thought and then like learn, like, and I think, I don't know, maybe that's an internal thing. Maybe Hank internally learns that lesson, and that's what that's supposed to be.
Right.
But it would have been cool.
Yeah, and you can get the sense that like he was embarrassed about him even thinking it, and it's the point where he's like, well, I can't say what I was thinking. That would be embarrassing. And yeah, like I do think there's like great lessons to be learned in here, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe it is enough, but it does kind of feel like the resolution doesn't have much to do with the issues that were portrayed, right? You know? Yeah, it's good, but I do like this episode. I think it's a good one. It's really interesting. Yeah. Like, cause there's not many, it's one of those season one episodes of a show that there's not really any other episodes like it in the rest of the show.
So you know what these kind of episodes make me think about? Cause I was thinking about this with Family Guy recently. And I think it's because I was watching an episode where they were about to close the clam, the drunken clam where they go to drink all the time. And I think Joe says something like, we've been coming here for 15 years. And then I froze and I'm like, no, in the context of the show, they just met Joe a couple months ago.
Right.
Right. And that's how that's how it is with Khan is like, it feels like they've known Khan for 20 years, but they've only known him for like a year or a couple months.
That is,
it's weird to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I look at the scheme of the whole show, I'm like, well, yeah, Khan's just their neighbor. And it was funny to rewatch the season and be like, oh, he didn't live there when we started the show. You got any other thoughts on this one? Should we move on to?
See, I have my notes. Said Lady Bird being a slut is so fucking funny because I think Khan calls Lady Bird a slut. Lady Bird a slut. Peggy, when Hank and Peggy are eating pizza, Peggy is eating her pizza with a fork. And my question was, does Peggy always eat pizza with a fork? Is that something that comes back? I wonder. I don't know.
Gonna pay attention to that as I watch through the show for sure.
And I wrote down that I like the ending. That's all I got.
Yeah, it is a good ending though. It is like, I do like the ending. Cause I get that idea where it's just sometimes it takes a little shift in perspective to be like, oh, we are a lot alike, you know? Yeah. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. All right, well, let's move on to 108, Shins of the Father, the proper introduction of Cotton Hill, and an insane episode, I would say.
Yes, he started wilding a little bit.
Yeah, so this is the one, not only him, but Bobby.
Bobby, for sure.
Yeah. So we mentioned this one earlier, how weird it is that at the beginning of this, Bobby didn't want Cotton to come to his party. And we know that Bobby and Cotton have such a like good, friendly relationship over the course of the show. So that's like a weird one at this point in the show. Well, I guess at this point in the show, it kind of tracks. But like knowing what we know about it later, it feels off. Mm-hmm. One of the things that changes over the show. I like how his grand entrance into the show as a proper introduction is on a horse. That's funny. Brings the horse to the party. And then I like that Bill's the first one who wants to ride on the horse. That's a very, again, nailing Bill's characterization. Right, nailing it. Also, there's like moments in this where it feels like it's, granted, a lot of this episode is about how Hank enables Cotton's bad behavior, how Hank doesn't put any kind of pressure up against the bad things Cotton says or does. But there's like there's that scene in the kitchen where they're like kind of play fighting, like doing the play fight scuffle.
Yeah, that was
weird.
That was random as fuck to me. That was really weird. Like, and like, okay, Cotton cracks a fucking plate in half, right? And then instantly my brain tells me Hank's gonna be like, whoa, dad, like chill. No, he still got his fit. Like, yeah, dad. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
I know.
This is not the same
dude. It's like the most fun and playful we've ever seen Hank and Cotton be in the show. And it feels very out of place compared to a lot of the other stuff we've seen with them. It's kind of it really stands out. But it is interesting. Like there's always like, again, the season is full of those little moments that are just like, huh, this is a little off. I like the like very matter of fact way that they say that they lost the horse. Like if we find the horse, we'll call the rental place. Like they lost a horse. How do you lose a horse? It's pretty funny.
Bobby does the what are you talking about thing. He pulls the pants all the way up. They do it. They do that really early.
I love that they bring it back later. It's so funny.
And this is Dee Dee. This is the first time. Dee Dee isn't even in like flashbacks or anything. This is just the first Dee Dee.
That's true. That's true.
And which I completely forgot that they went to kindergarten together.
Hank and Dee Dee, I know. Hank.
Yeah, it's rough.
I know, I remember that. Yeah, it's bad weird. Vibes. It's pretty weird. Pretty That's weird for sure.
That's bad vibes, and Cotton slapping Luann's ass is bad vibes.
The worst, dude. The worst. I did write down how much I like though that Luann. I love that Luann stands up for herself. Like I like, I mean it's like a gross. It's a gross scenario, and Cotton sucks. But I love that. Like I love that Luann's just like touch me again. And what does she say? She like threatens him basically. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot about Luann I like in this episode. They completely abandoned the Luann being good at mechanical skills stuff.
Yeah, she definitely fixes his car.
She not only fixes the car, but she like hears the problem with it when he tries to start it. She can like your cat is on the top.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching her like through my video.
My cat's laying down right here. See him? See him right there, laying down on the couch.
Oh, I see him.
But that was actually a comment I got on my Luann video. As much as I like a lot of what they did with Luann throughout the show, and I did my video is kind of about a lot of my misgivings about how they treat her later in the show, because they kind of regress her a lot from a lot of the development she has later in the show, which I don't like. And it feels like she becomes second fiddle to Lucky in the late seasons in a way that I don't like. But I got a lot of comments from people who are like, I really hate that they abandoned Luann being good at like fixing cars, being a mechanic, because that is like a skill that Luann could have pursued and you know had a pretty successful life doing probably.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and they just kind of abandoned it entirely. But she like fixes the car in this,
right?
Cotton's such a dickhead to Peggy. Such a dickhead to Peggy.
That's always been consistent.
Very consistent. He's such an asshole to Peggy. This episode is kind of about how he is doing that and Hank is not doing anything about it. Like Hank, not only that, Cotton's influence and behavior is just like this episode's how it's about. It's flat out unacceptable, and Hank enables it because he's not willing to press back against his father. And I will say that I do think, even though there's like moments in this, like the scuffle in the kitchen that feel too like they're being too playful, it doesn't feel in character of their relationship later in the show. I think overall, this is a great episode that is pretty consistent with their relationship throughout the show. Like that is a problem that Hank has. And until he's pushed to a boiling point, is that he is afraid to confront and fight back against his father.
I think the puzzle pieces are there. I think Hank is kind of operating on the plane of like he either doesn't know or is actively ignoring or both actively ignoring that his father is a bad dude.
Right.
Like when he tells the homies that his dad's coming, he's like excited. And when he's there, he doesn't want him to leave. And Bobby doesn't want him to leave either for obvious reasons, but Hank doesn't want him to leave. And the Hank that we know now would get extremely anxious having Cotton in his house.
That's true.
And it would
true.
Be like, fam, all you're going to do is judge how I raised my son the entire time you stay here. So like, I don't think I want you here. You know what I mean?
That's a good
point.
And
like, Hank wouldn't tell him he had to leave, like, you know, but he had to stay outside on the street and no shit like that. But he is like a child. Like I said earlier, he's a child in most of these. He's like a child excited to see his father in this world.
Yeah. And like the fact that he's not worried about or not seeing or acknowledging the ways that Cotton is being such a negative influence on Bobby is weird. Like Hank should.
Yeah, he wouldn't play about that kind of shit.
There's a whole nother episode later in the show where Buck Strickland's behavior is rubbing off on Bobby, and Hank immediately is like, what the hell are you doing? Granted, that is actually interesting. Two really interesting episodes to juxtapose, because you got Hank's father and his like surrogate father figure, both influencing his son in ways that he doesn't approve of. That's that's interesting. Maybe there's more to talk about there in some regard. I still think the craziest part of this episode is Bobby starting the women's work riot at school, being like, that's women's work, women, and getting everyone to chant women's work.
He turned up.
Insane. But I do love how just like Peggy is very straight up about it when she calls Hank. She's like, your son started a sexist riot at school today. I'm like, not even sugarcoating it. It sucks that it's interesting that it needed to get to that point for Hank to do anything. But I do like his speech where he stands up to Cotton at the end. Because he stands up for both his mom and Peggy in that. And he also stands up for Bobby to basically like, you're a bad influence on my son, and I don't want you to be influencing him that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And I love when Bobby's like trying to understand what was wrong about that situation. And he's talking to Hank, and he's just like, he doesn't, it's like when he understands that Peggy is Hank's best friend, like he's like, what about your best friends? Like, Peggy is my best friend. Right. It's a great line. It's really nice.
Yeah. I wrote that one down.
I do kind of hate the last joke though, where they're like, he says, it's a great line. And it feels like they undercut it with a joke, because they basically like, you need to learn that women are not put in this world to serve us. And then he was like, all right, well, now let's order some food. And they cut out, and it's just all of these like women on roller skates and skate. Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
It was kind of a bummer. I didn't like that much.
I get the comedic intent. Like I get the idea that you want to end on a laugh like that, but it does feel like it undercuts the message to me a little bit.
It kind of feels like a season 9 Simpsons ending.
Right. Yeah, I feel you.
Like something like that.
Yeah, anything else about this one?
That's all I had.
Cool. Good ep though. Oh shit, I forgot the rank. Gonna have to do that. Oh no. All right, Peggy the Boggle Champ. This is a good one.
I have one note for this one.
One note. Good. I have a bunch. I love the first joke, which is them seeing the ad for the mower convention. And it goes, Sunday, and Saturday.
And Saturday.
It's so funny.
So my first and only note for this episode is just the words Hank of the Hill. Which I sent to you before we recorded this, just to make sure that you saw it, so I wouldn't just be talking about something that you never seen before.
Yeah.
But Hank of the Hill, for people that don't know, is a very famous old ass YouTube poop. If you guys are old enough to remember what those are, and it's based around this episode, and the instant that I saw the commercial, I went, oh fuck.
You just that, like, were transported back to it.
Video is engraved in my brain. Like, I can't, it was rough watching this one without thinking of like all the different cuts and shit that are in that video. So
this one has so many jokes I love, and also I think this is a really good Hank and Peggy episode. I love that Sunday joke. this is, that's like a, there's like a good little sort of moment that's very Peggy that feels like, oh, this is kind of something that informed her character moving forward, is when she like insists on putting her giant Boggle trophy next to all of Hank's football trophies, and which I love. I think that's great. And yeah, it's like, it's a good one where it's like Hank is a little selfish. He looks down on like what Peggy's doing a little bit, and he's like really just in it to go to this mower situation.
Right.
There is, I think there's a perfect joke in this, and it is when they all leave. So it's just Luann and Bobby home alone. And the first joke they do is they start to make it seem like they're doing risky business. And so they play the and Bobby slides in his underpants, just like in the movie Risky Business. And then he turns around and goes, Luann, what are you watching? And she turns it and the music stops. She goes, Risky Business. And it was like, it was the music from that scene in Risky Business. It's such a perfect joke. It's so funny. God, that's so like, that's such a creative, such a creative spin on the Risky Business joke. Man. But I also like the Luann and Bobby subplot where they just like are panicking about making sure they don't mess up the house at all. And every tiny thing they do, they're like overcorrecting to the point where that becomes the problem in the tag, where they like, they have everyone over fixing the house and they're like, you're having a party. Everyone get out of here.
Yeah, no, man.
I really like the structure of the Boggle tournament. I like that she goes and she immediately faces off against the person who she's told is like the best boggler around, Sissy Kyle.
That woman has a wild laugh.
I wrote that down too. The
that like, laugh oh. is wild.
Like the, yeah, like it's like a hearty crazy laugh. But the way they structure it so that she immediately loses thoroughly to Sissy Cobb and then works her way back up only to have to play her again in the finals is perfect. It's a perfect, it's like, it's the sports, it's a sports story. It's like literally structured like a sports movie. You know, you get your ass kicked at first and you work your way back up. I also like Hank not really understanding how to help. Like after she loses that first round, he tries to do what like his football coach did, and he starts yelling at her. Like, yeah, you're a loser. Yeah, yeah. You're a loser. She just starts crying.
He makes his wife cry. So sick.
One of my favorite jokes at the convention is that they have the virtual mower. Boomer was riding the virtual mower, which is so funny. Just like VR in the 90s.
he like reaches under it and he's like, oh shit, I don't have any hair on any fucking fingers
because he reached under it. That's so funny. But I really like, there's this moment where they're like, Hank's reminiscing about them in one of their football games in high school and how she was there to cheer him on. He was like, yeah, cheering her heart out when we were down 28-0. And like, he's abandoned her because he thought she was going to lose. And so I like his little journey in this. Like if he does things that here's my note. I wrote, he does things that are very un-Hank in a good way. Like him putting on that pink coach shirt, not something I would expect Hank to ever do, but he's doing it for such a good reason that like that is motivated by his change of heart in this, that like that works so well for me.
Right.
Yeah. Also great Chuck Mangione ref in this is they go as soon as the tournament is over, the two announcers of the tournament go, now back to a video of the hotel fire safety procedures with your host Chuck Mangione. It's so good. This is a great this is like a great Peggy episode. I like a real proper thorough like Peggy gets a win story. There's no like, there's nothing in this episode where Peggy's like her own worst enemy, like we see later. She doesn't like have to climb out of a hole that she dug for herself. She is like confident. She's overconfident and she's very confident, like we see later. But it's just about her being good at something and going out and trying to compete at it at a high level and doing well. And it's got a nice, like, it ties nicely into her relationship with Hank as well, and he goes through a nice little arc. I like this one. Like Peggy the Boggle Champ.
Yeah, I like this one. I like this one. You know, thinking about flashbacks made me remember that. And the one before this, there's that wild ass flashback where Cotton brings them to the club. I think after they won a game, it's like Hank and them, and he tries to. I think he solicits some women to like sleep with Hank or some shit like that. And like as a, like and Hank's like a teenager and he just like runs off because he's so terrified.
Right.
Yeah. And Hank says something like, what kind of father will put his kid through that? I mean, do something like that for his kid.
That was in Shins of the Father, right? That was the
It's the one right before. Oh, well, yeah. That's the one right before this one, right?
Yeah. It's like he goes and get them all hookers. Not many parents would do something to their kid like that.
It's
pretty good. All right. You got any other thoughts on this one? Should we move along?
Let's keep it going. No, this is a rough one, this next one.
Keeping Up with Our Joneses. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's funny. Like, it is a rough one. But it is funny. This is one that I feel like this is one that feels more cartoony than a lot of later episodes to me. I do like I understand why this feels like this, like when somebody, I can see how like in the pitching stage of King of the Hill, when working out how this show is going to work, why this plot feels like a King of the Hill plot. There's so many of these first season episodes are like clearly like inspired by sort of just like stories of being raised in a bygone era, right? Like kind of like F is for Family in a way, where it's just like it was a different time. And I think this was like written by people who are like, well, yeah, like let's write about all these ways that all the ways that parents can mess you up. And I do at least like that, though Hank forces Bobby to smoke this entire carton of cigarettes, there is not a single other person in this episode who thinks that was an okay thing for him to do. Everyone is like, what in the hell were you thinking? Wrong with you?
Yeah. The only reason he gets it off is because Peggy like leaves to do something. She's like, Hank, you deal with him. And then he like, all right.
And I
come
think
smoke
he was
this carton.
And I think he was probably thinking about it in a way that's like, here's what my dad would have made me do. Well, I don't know if
he says, here's what my dad would do if he had the parenting skills to do what I'm about to do to you. Like, which is like, so he is insinuating that doing this makes him a better father than his dad was.
Yeah. This is the one thing that everyone always brings up in my Hank and Bobby video is that, oh no, Hank's a bad father. He made Bobby smoke a whole carton of cigarettes. And you know what? No arguing. This is the worst thing Hank's ever done, in my opinion.
I'm arguing because I don't think this is the same character.
Agreed. That's my argument as well. Yeah. Is like, that's the thing is like, this is so un-Hank Hill-like that it's so hard for me to reconcile it with the rest of the show. And when the rest of the other 12 seasons of the show contradict the characterization in this episode, then I just see this as the odd man out. I'm like, oh, this is just before they figured it out. This is before they figured out the characterizations. And this season is riddled with these different, slightly off characterizations that they honed in on and fine-tuned later. And
people get so caught up on trying to like take these shows in totality without realizing that like shows have to have like time to develop. Not everything has to count. Like, I know y'all love to make everything count, but everything doesn't have to count. The best example of that is like in an early episode of Rugrats, like somebody axes like Chucky's dad, like, oh, where's Chucky's mom? And he says some shit like, oh, she's at work or something like that. Like, he says something like that. And then And then, like, later down the line when they were making Rugrats, they were like, oh, I guess we never showed the mom, huh? How about we do this thing where, like,
yeah.
Right, exactly. And it was so easy in the 90s to just kind of go, like, oh, yeah, we did kind of mention her once, right? Well, let's just not air that episode anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And then, like, nobody will remember. But now, since you can see everything now, it's like, oh, you remember in episode 223. Like, it's like, man, we didn't want to do that anymore.
And granted, like, I agree. Granted, I am someone who makes videos by, like, looking at the totality of a character's, like, journey in a show. But it is, like, especially with a show like this, it's hard not to take into account. And sometimes I'll pick and choose things from season one if I feel like they line up with what we know of the character
right
down the line. But it is, like, it is almost like, consider season one the trial run. It's almost like, it's like a pilot season.
Exactly. Let's
see if it works.
They don't know who these characters are yet.
There is a line that made me laugh so hard all through Hank delivery that I had to rewind. And it's when he's out sitting with Enrique, and Enrique's telling him, like, the story about, I don't know what it's about, something about piñatas. And Hank goes, "That's quite a story, Enrique. I like stories. I like stories about piñatas." It's just, that cracked me up so much, the way he delivered that. This one also has, like, this tiny, silly little subplot. It's got, like, it's Luann versus Lady Bird. We're like, Luann, like, Lady Bird eats something.
Oh, is her her makeup.
Yes, yes. And then so she throws something of hers down the drain. And she's like, "See, that'll teach you to not eat my makeup," which is so funny. The idea of Luann, like, getting in a real tiff with a dog is very funny. There's this hilarious flashback where they're like, Hank and Peggy are thinking about what it was like when they always got together and they would smoke all the cigarettes. And, like, there's a lot of craziness in there, but there's one where they're, like, on a, like, Splash Mountain type water ride, and they're smoking cigarettes while they're on it. It's so funny.
Fam, my second note for this episode is, these fucking losers used to smoke cigarettes, with, like, 50 exclamation points.
Yep.
Fucking dweebs.
That is why, like, this is one specifically, even though I do think it's very funny, I laugh at this one a lot. It might be one that I laughed at most in this season. It feels characterizations feel wrong. B, the vibe is so different in this episode. This is one that felt so cartoony to me.
Because the withdrawal stuff.
Because the withdrawals. And it is funny. Half. It is so funny, but it is so cartoony.
But it's not King of the Hill. Yeah, it's not. It's not King of the Hill. It is funny, but it's not King of the Hill.
Yes.
And I was thinking too, is that even though nothing about this episode is like the show that we like, there is this episode establishes one thing that does come back, and it's that Hank used to smoke. Because what does he do when he thinks that with all that Debbie shit happens?
He goes to smoke a cigarette,
and, well, it was fucking weed, but, you know, that's what he does. He goes to smoke a cigarette, and it's supposed to be, like, a big thing for people that are, like, fans of the show, because it's like, oh shit, like, they gave that up years ago, you know what I mean?
For sure.
And that's established here. So that's one thing about it.
My favorite line of them tweaking out over the withdrawals is when they're sitting at dinner and Bobby goes, "Why has my potato got skin on it? I hate skin." I just, like, them tweaking was funny. It is so funny. But I wrote, like, that's what I wrote. I wrote, this episode is funny, but they're all a little too cartoony for King of the Hill. That is just what this one comes down to. This, like, even though I very much enjoy this episode, it just feels like it's out of a different show. It's like a really great fan fiction that doesn't really understand the characters. Weird. Yeah. Like, even the end, when they make it out overnight, Luann's kind of the MVP of this episode. She's the one who keeps them from smoking again. And like the end, when they get out, they start throwing the deflated football around. It's so dumb and so cartoony. Like it's stupid. Yeah. There's also one moment that is very out of character for Hank in this, which is when he leaves Enrique and goes with Peg, and he's like holding the cigarette.
Oh my God.
And he flips it into the propane. And it's like,
insane.
Hank would, there's never a fucking,
insane.
There's never a chance that he would do that. It's insane. Yeah, it's a really interesting episode. And I do love watching it. I think it's very funny. It's just so, so far removed from what this show is. That's really interesting. It's really interesting, honestly, all things considered.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like No Disgrace Like Home from The Simpsons.
Yeah,
how in like Homer,
you love
Homer
that is
the one that like I love fucking love that one, and it's weird. That's why I think it's fascinating in the same way, because that episode is like Homer being the one to wake up and being like, "Oh fuck, my family's a mess," which is totally out of character.
It never happens that way.
Yeah, and it is interesting to see what happens when you like take these characters and like make them completely unrecognizable
for sure,
because that's what this is here with Hank. So it's still funny. It's just
still really funny, really episode King still really funny episode. Move on to 111, King of the Anthill.
Yeah,
all right,
almost there.
This has a lot of lines I love. This is a good Dale one. Dale feels very Dale in this, I will say. I think they got Dale right in this episode, generally. But I love Hank being obsessed with his lawn. Very Hank. That's very Hank. That feels like something, that feels like a vibe that they were like, this is what Hank is moving forward.
Yeah.
I like when he talks, he's talking about his lawn. He's like, I treat it with the love and tender feelings I've held back from my family. Which is very funny, very Hank. But him firing Dale is really sad. Like, he does it in front of everyone, and Dale's just like, please don't do this to me.
I think Dale was 1,000% right. He's like, can you just like not do this in front of everybody? Like,
this is very embarrassing.
Why the fuck would you do that in front of everybody?
Yeah, agreed. Hank was in the wrong there. Yes. But it's all because he's got this like new rivalry with Khan, right? Khan's got a nice lawn. He's like, I need to have the nicer lawn. One of my favorite deliveries in all of King of the Hill is when they go to the like gardening place and Hank sees the grass and he goes, it's Raleigh St. Augustine. That's like, like him getting so excited about this obscure type of grass is like a perfect King, Hank Hill moment for me. Raleigh St. Augustine. So funny. Also super fucking cartoony Bobby subplot. The ants controlling him, the like queen ant, like turning him into a minion ant. That is such a cartoony thing. Another like that is straight out of another cartoon. That is not very, very King of the Hill at all.
Speaking about Bobby, this one has that wild ass line that we alluded to earlier.
You're right.
Where Joseph says, he says something about, he says, my dad's truck. And then Bobby says, you mean Dale Gribble's? He said, Dale Gribble's truck? And he says, yeah, my dad.
Yeah, my dad.
And that interaction broke my fucking brain.
Right. It seems,
I was like, oh, shit.
Based on later episodes, it doesn't seem like Bobby is in the know about that. It doesn't seem like it. It could maybe be left up for interpretation, but it does not seem like Bobby is aware of that situation with John Redcorn. So maybe this is just a situation where that is, because that is a great it is a funny joke.
It is funny.
It's very funny, but it is. It maybe feels like they hadn't just locked in how many people know who knows about it, but it is funny. You mean Dale Gribble's truck? You mean Dale Gribble's truck? Yeah, this one's kind of nuts. And then, like, I do think, like, it's a weird one because, like, I feel really bad for Dale at first. Hank doing that was messed up. But Dale's retaliation is insane. Yes.
Dale goes putting
the red ants and the fire ants in his yard, first of all, in his new expensive fancy lawn is so messed up. And then two, for him to overcorrect when he has to spray and just destroy Hank's lawn. Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
But look, both of those things are super Dale. Like, he is in character the entire time.
True.
He is in character the entire time.
You
I wrote
are
not that this
wrong.
Is the episode that this is the episode that essentially just explains who Dale is. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Almost in every aspect. We still haven't gotten one yet for Bill or Boomhauer explaining directly who they are. But
right.
This is the one that, like, breaks down who Dale is.
That's true. This is the first real Dale episode. In fact, I remember watching this one when I did my Dale video, and it was the first one of the Dale episodes that I watched.
Hank is that you know what makes that scene so rough is that there's no fucking music or sound, like there's just sound design and then that's it. When Hank is like chasing Dale around the truck.
Yes.
And he's really going to fuck him up. And,
yeah.
and Dale
oh, yeah.
is so scared.
For sure. So funny. For sure.
It's so funny.
Poor guy. You got anything else? Bucking the Anthill, anything from the back end?
Yeah, I think I wrote down that the ending is corny, but it's kind of sweet. When they all kind of show up with all that grass. And, like, they hand him the ground.
Yeah.
Wow, this is kind of stupid. And, like, he's, like, I don't know. Hank gives them kind of, like, a speech. And I'm like, this is kind of dumb. But, like, it is kind of sweet at the same time. So, you know.
It is sweet. I like that. All right. Let's move on to the season finale.
I will say,
interestingly, there were 13 episodes produced for season one, and one of them is just smack dab in the middle of season two.
That's gross.
And I haven't watched, because the thing is that, like, one of the things is, like, the animation changes a lot between season one and two, and I've never really gone back and watched that season two episode and been like, huh, does this one look different?
Yeah.
And I feel like I would have noticed if it had. Because I remember the episode, but I don't remember whether or not it looks old or not. I'm gonna go check that one out. But I also don't know if it's on the season one DVD, if they moved it to the season one DVD, or if it's on the season two DVD. I'm actually curious about that. So the finale, though, plastic white female. This is so funny. This episode's so funny. Also pretty cartoony, but, like, in a kind of a believable Bobby way. Like this doesn't strike me as too wild for Bobby Hill. This feels kind of like something he might do, you know?
Yeah. With the little mannequin head. Yeah. Okay.
I get
behind that.
The montage of him, like, going on dates with her to wouldn't be nice is really funny. It's a weird episode, though. What's the other plot? It's Luann's
haircut thing
because it's her mannequin head.
Right.
And that's interesting. That's an interesting plot line. So you've got this one plot line where Bobby's going to go to this party with Joseph. And it's going to be a boy girl party, and he's kind of nervous. He doesn't know. We don't know if he's, like, really interested in girls yet. And then he sees that mannequin head, and he's like, enamored with it. But this has one of my favorite Luann deliveries ever. And she walks in with the head and she's like, look at my head for the class or whatever. And Peggy goes, oh my gosh, it looks so nice. And she goes to like grab it. And Luann just goes, don't touch it. She like screams, don't touch it. She's freaking out. She's like, but it gets it's funny. And B, it gets the like stakes across where she is like, she's really protective of this and she doesn't want anyone to mess with it.
Right.
But then Bobby like going behind everyone's back to like go on these creepy little dates with his mannequin head. It's really funny.
It's nuts. It's
I like the first time he goes to look at the mannequin head, like through the window, he's like out in the yard. It's like, it like plays like a Hitchcock sequence. It plays like a horror movie where he's just like this creepily looking in someone's window. And they do a gag where he's like enamored with the head. And then she puts something over it and starts immediately taking off her top. And he just starts, and he's turned away because they've put the thing over the mannequin head. He doesn't even realize what's going on. It's, this one makes me laugh a lot. There's a great line where when Hank's trying to like hide the mannequin head from him and he goes, you can't use it, Bobby. It's a crutch. And he goes, it's not a crutch, Dad. It's just something I've come to rely on to help me through life. It's so funny.
There's a good, what's the word? It's kind of like a bait and switch, good bait and switch joke really early in the episode where Hank walks in the house and he's going through the mail and he's like, bills, bills, bills. Why do we keep getting bills mail? It's so fucking funny.
That is an incredible joke. Incredible joke. Funny. Why do we keep getting bills mail?
It's really good.
So fucking funny. I feel like that's a joke that's like perfectly emblematic of King of the Hill's style of humor. It's like, it's mm-hmm. like jokes that creep up on you.
Yeah,
it's so good. I love it so much. There's a really funny, in most of these episodes, there's usually at least one funny, like Dale being ignorant of John Redcorn situation joke. But in this one, he's like bragging about like how Joseph's going to be a ladies' man. He's like, I reckon he gets that from his old man. As like Nancy runs into John Redcorn's car.
That's bad vibes. So, man, what the fuck does... Oh, man. I think it might have been about the haircut thing. I don't remember what the fuck Bill was talking about. All I know is Dale cuts him off and says, nobody cares, Bill. And then, like, that's just how the fucking scene ends.
Oh, it's so funny. This is a super, super funny episode. I really like this one.
This one has a fucking weird ending.
With Bobby and Connie?
No, it ends with them playing spin the bottle, and then it lands on Nancy. And it like the last shot is Bobby lunging at Nancy.
That's true. That's a weird fucking bizarre ending. You're right.
That was bizarre.
Super bizarre. Super bizarre.
It
kind of undercuts how sweet the other endings are too. Like Hank saws the mannequin head in half, which is insane and very emblematic of Hank.
Yeah, he went crazy.
Who sometimes is very self-centered. He doesn't see other people's stuff sometimes. And so like didn't even think about the fact that he was just dooming Luann. Mm-hmm. But then they have that nice ending where like he gets his hair cut for her test. She gets a bad grade and he's just like, no, you actually did a great job. It's like, you noticed all of these weird things I have in my head. And she's like, yes, I cut around those. I know how to do that. And then the teacher is like, well, I've really gotten lost in this teaching thing. Basically, like you gave him a haircut he was happy with. That's probably should give you a good grade.
That's what's important. Yeah.
But I really like the Bobby Connie bit. It's like just the beginning of their stuff. And, I like the joke where she's just like, I've been practicing, and like kisses her hand. She's like, what a good idea. He had no idea that he just practiced kissing a hand. But I also like the line where she's like, maybe we could practice. Cause she's like, her whole thing is I want my first time to be perfect. Hey, maybe we could practice. And he's like, you want to kiss me? He's like, no, just practice. like she's differentiating a real kiss and like practicing. But it's nice. It's a nice little setup for Connie and Bobby. Like in the first episode together, they were cool. They were friendly. And this one, they got this little moment. I feel like they build out that relationship pretty effectively over the course of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. It's nice. Yeah. You got anything else about this final ep?
No. So go ahead.
All right. I have a hard time ranking this season, I'm gonna be honest. It's weird. Like, it's such a weird season. I like them all. I feel like there's few that I like. There's not that many that I love.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any that I love.
Yeah, I don't think there are any that I love. This is weird. I'm having a hard time. I'm looking at my ranking and I'm moving them around. I'm like, huh.
I'm looking at my number one and I'm like, damn, yeah, that's my number one.
I'm kind of feeling the same way. You know, whatever. Let's just go with it. Do you have, all right, well, before we do our ranking, season one of King of the Hill, any other thoughts on this season? I feel like we did a pretty good job talking over it over the episode, but anything else you want to add about this first season?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it for, in a lot of ways, it's as interesting as the first season of The Simpsons for a lot of the same reasons. But like almost not as interesting because like the characterization isn't like night and day like the first season of The Simpsons is, which makes that like super duper fucking interesting. And the animation isn't starkly different, which is also what makes the early Simpsons very interesting. It's like a lot of those comments that we got were really spot on where it was just kind of like, this was as figured out as a lot of first, this was as figured out as a first season could be. You know what I mean? Like, they had a lot of things in place that a lot of shows wouldn't have in place this early on. They had it in place early on. Down to, like I said, the stuff with, like, even Peggy's feet being big. That isn't even a fucking big deal until, like, 4 years later.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think... That's something to definitely commend on. Like I said, there aren't any of these that I feel like I love.
And that's weird because so to your point, like it feels similar to a season one of The Simpsons or Futurama. I feel like had it even more figured out, but like
it feels
similar in that it's like a little it's like interesting in similar ways that Simpsons season one is interesting or Family Guy season one is interesting because it's like different, but it's not as charming as The Simpsons season one. I really like this. I mean, I like King of the Hill in general. I loved watching through this and talking about it has been so fun and interesting, but like there are like four or five episodes in The Simpsons season one that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, agree.
There are so many episodes in Futurama season one that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one where I'm like, I really like this season for its place in King of the Hill history. It's so interesting to watch through and dissect it and see where things changed.
Right.
But even the episodes, like, yeah, it's just so, it's, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It just doesn't feel like I really latched on to what they were doing as much in this first season of King of the Hill. I can see hints of what I would latch on to as the show goes on, but like there was nothing in this season that reached out and grabbed me in a way like an episode like Moaning Lisa did in season one of The Simpsons, you know, even though there's stuff that I laughed at thoroughly. Really interesting, though. Really interesting season of television. Yeah. I'm excited to talk more about King of the Hill moving forward. Not sure when we'll do that. We still have some more season ones we want to cover before that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, based on how much people are enjoying our Simpsons episode, I almost want
to chase that.
We might have to do that. At least do a few seasons, knock out a few seasons of that. Should we do our rankings?
Let's do them.
All right, this is going to be weird. I feel like we're going to be way off because I don't I'm looking at my rankings and I'm like, is this really my ranking?
I don't really understand mine.
I don't really understand mine either. I feel like if I did this again, it would be 100% different. I'm just going to
I do. I think I've said this on here before, but I do my rankings while watching.
I used to do that and then I keep forgetting. I should be doing that.
I feel that.
All right, I'm just going to go for it. 12, okay. Hank's Got the Willies. 11, Order of the Straight Arrow. 10, Hank's Unmentionable Problem. 9, West East Side Story. 8, Pilot. 7, Plastic White Female. 6, King of the Ant Hill. 5, Luann's Saga. 4, Peggy the Boggle Champ. 3, Square Peg. 2, Shins of the Father. And 1, Keeping Up with Our Joneses.
Okay. This is all, it's all over the place. It is all over the place. 12, King of the Ant Hill. 11, The Order of the Straight Arrow. 10, Pilot. 9, Luann Saga. 8, Hank's Got the Willies. 7, Keeping Up with Our Joneses. 6, Peggy the Boggle Champion. 5, Plastic White Female. 4, Square Peg. 3, West East Side Story. 2, Hank's Unmentionable Problem. And 1, Shins of the Father.
Man, I had Shins of the Father. I kept like rotating because like Shins of the Father, it was weird. It was like, oh, is that really my favorite? And then I was like, but I kept thinking how like, even though it's the episode I have the most problems with characterization wise, it's the one I keep thinking about most, is Keeping Up with Our Joneses. It's like how funny that shit was. It's so weird. That. It's so not King of the Hill, but it is the one that stands out amongst this as like, huh, that was doing something. That is memorable. That's super memorable, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird because it's like it's the one I have the most problems with as a King of the Hill episode, but the ones I laughed at the most while watching this set of episodes.
I got you.
Weird one. Weird season. I don't know. I think if I re-ranked it, I would be completely different. I have like I feel like every time I do it would be different. all right. What else? That's about it.
That's it, man.
I'm assuming that the next episode you hear, man, we should have, shoot, I'm going out of town, so this isn't going to work. We should have done Beavis and Butthead this week.
The thing? The new thing?
Well, we should have done an episode on it. We should have done an episode on it to come out Monday instead of this King of the Hill episode.
Oh. Yeah, it wouldn't have worked out regardless, though.
Yeah.
Because either way, you have to leave tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm out of town. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked out regardless, even if we did think about it.
So we'll see. Maybe the move ends up being you cover these first two King of the Hill. Well, these will come out 2 weeks in a row. If you're on the Patreon, you get the whole thing. And then maybe we'll do Beavis and Butthead the week after that. Fill out a week with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well if we're going to watch it and talk about it anyways. And then you'll probably get Family Guy after that. Probably going to get Family Guy.
Nice.
Which we recorded so long ago. We recorded that so long ago.
Nice. I don't remember what the fuck I said in that, but whatever I said, I was spitting.
I'm excited to hear it again. It's been that long.
Yeah.
Also, we had so much fun talking about it. We talked for 2.5 hours about 7 episodes of Family Guy. That is insane. That is insane.
You can't get me to shut up about it.
We're 3 hours deep into this King of the Hill season 1 episode. This is what happens when we talk about these shows. When we talk about these shows that we love and are inspired by, we don't shut the hell up about them. So we'll see what happens when we get to longer seasons. They're going to be crazy. We're also going to have to dive back into Futurama at some point. Like we probably need to cover that shit. We got to cover that shit before next year when the new stuff comes out.
Oh, yeah.
We have to.
That's true.
And then we have to cover the new stuff as soon as it's the season is done airing. We have to. It's the only way. It's the only thing that makes sense.
More cartoons.
God, can you believe it? Can you believe our lives?
Yeah, man.
We talk about cartoons all the time. This was great. This is a good episode, though. I think this is really nice. This is really nice. Love talking about King of the Hill. You know, we also want to hear your thoughts, because we're doing this like little season one mini series. So we're gonna have done a bunch of season ones, but within a few months you'll have heard us talk about Simpsons, Family Guy, King of the Hill, South Park. Maybe we've already done Futurama. Maybe we throw Bob's Burgers in there. We're gonna talk about all these things. And we want to hear what you guys are most interested in hearing us talk about moving forward. Because we do want to jump into a mini series based on whichever one of these people seem to be most interested in. At this point, I have a hard time thinking it's not going to be Simpsons. Because everyone is digging our Simpsons ep. It seems to be doing very well for us. So we'll see. We will see. But let us know. Please let us know. Please check out the Patreon. Please follow us on Twitter. Please follow our channels and tell us you love us and sing our praises and tell your friends and have a nice meal with your family. you got anything else? You got anything to plug?
No.
Me neither. I got nothing to plug. Watch my King of the Hill videos. You can watch my King of the Hill videos. That'd be cool.
Do that. Yeah.
I might have one out by the time you hear this. I might have. Oh, I should. By the time you hear, if you're not on the Patreon, by the time you hear this part of the episode, I will probably have a video out about Dale, Joseph, and John Redcorn. If you are a Patreon member, then spoilers. That will happen this week, probably. and yeah, I think that'll be a good one. And with that, I want to thank Carrie Feek for our artwork. I want to thank Jake Neutron for our theme song. I want to thank Michael Yunez for producing and editing the podcast and co-hosting our After Dark episodes so brilliantly. Go check him out on there. And I want to thank all of you for listening to us ramble about cartoons for 3 hours at a time. Very kind of you. This is a 3-hour episode about 12 episodes of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
Thanks for rambling about cartoons with me for 3 hours, Tariq. Appreciate you. I know it's really late for you right now, and I appreciate you staying up. So and late. I know you're real tired, but you rocked it. Even in your exhaustion, you killed it. You did a great job. And I have to go pack and get ready to get on a flight in. I have to be on a flight in 7.5 hours. So that's great. Great. Thank you, United Airlines. and with that, thank you very much.